Before we get started with the sermon, I'd like to just pray. So, Lord, I just ask that you would anoint these words and let only your words come through, Lord, only what you want to say to each and every one of us. Let it be words that build up and not tear down. So, come, Holy Spirit, upon us as I share your word, Lord, that you would use that for our healing and our growth. Amen. Don't always give the title of my sermon because I hope it's self-evident, but I will today. Title of my sermon is New Life in Christ. It's something that I think we miss sometimes. Most people in here have given their life to Christ, or if not, they're being drawn towards that. And we have a new life in him once we turn our hearts over to Christ and say, I want to follow you as my Lord and Savior. But then oftentimes, kind of like the parable of the sower, where we get attacked by the enemy or we get worn down by the worries of the world or whatever, we find that this new life in Christ isn't quite as evident as we thought it was. We keep falling back to the old life, to the old way of doing things, of the old problems that we have. And we seem to say, okay, well, Lord, I am a child of God, and yet it doesn't feel like that sometimes. Sometimes it just feels like everything in the world is caving in. And I was praying this week, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about my daughter, but that's sort of the forefront of where my life is right now. And I'm beginning to see a way in which I think things will come out really well for her. And I'm beginning to see some truths that are really helping in my perspective of what's happening as she goes through this whole trial. But then as I go, okay, now I feel a little bit more comfortable with the truth of what's happened. And I felt the Lord saying, okay, but what you're seeing is the outer shell of the truth. You're not seeing the full reality that I see. You're not seeing that inner shell, that inner part. And that's what I want to reveal along with the truths that are being spoken. And so as I turned to him, I realized, well, first of all, I shouldn't get comfortable in my own head knowledge of what I think is going to happen and should happen and all that, but to just relax and trust in him. And then I got thinking about, because I had already chosen this as a sermon, that my life is often, in my perspective, all the things I see, my five senses, see and feel and taste and hear and smell, and that's my reality. And we say, well, yeah, of course. But then I realize, as we're talking even today, that there's a deeper reality. There's a whole lot more to life than this outside shell that we keep bumping around in our lives. The things that happen to us, the stuff that sort of even stirs us up, riles us up, makes us angry, hurts us, all of those kinds of things. And I realized that God really wants us to go deeper. He wants that new life for us, and he wants it now. It's not like we're going to die and go to heaven and then get the new life. He wants that to start right now for us. He wants us to experience his new life in us. And in that, it takes a choice. Our life is about choices. Yeah, it's somewhat about doing good and not doing bad, but it's so much more about who do I turn to? Who do I focus on? Where does my heart go? Where is it that what I should be doing when I run into this hard crust of reality in the world today? How do I get through that? How do I see that inner life? The Lord said in Deuteronomy 30, he said, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you as you are entering to possess." It's interesting. The first thing you can do is think, all right, well, when I read this, it says I should keep his commands, decrees, and laws. And that's the oftentimes the fallacy of religious people. They're all about do. I'm gonna do these things. But God warns us, let me go on. "But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess." And he goes on to say, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. He is your life. And he will give you many years in the land that he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The crux of it is our heart. Our choices, our decisions aren't on just on the things we do each day, the reality world that we're in and all this stuff. That's sort of important, but we get there. We get to doing the right choices more often when we are able to turn our hearts to him. When that inner life comes to us as we more and more seek the Lord with our heart. Where our heart goes, that's where our actions go. Where our hearts go, that's where our values go. Where our heart goes, that's where we see where our real inner man is. And the inner man is the real man. The outer shell will die and pass away. But the inner man, that it does include our mind, our intellect, our emotions, our will, and it includes our spirit, the parts that's so connected to God. That's our real life. And that is the real reality. That's not the superficial reality of what we're seeing here, but it's the real reality of our life. And until we can get to that real reality through loving God, as he says here, he says, "Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, not to the rules, but to him." You want to grasp on to the living God and get him. So the key to following the Lord is that he will give us life and prosperity. Our free will follows that. If we choose to follow him, to seek after him, to go after him, and then let these other things fall into place. So when reality's telling me my daughter's in jail, they have accused her of murder, and we're in deep doo-doo, God is telling me, "I got it. I got you covered. It's not going to be death and destruction. It's going to be life and prosperity." And even beyond that, God is a God of restoration. He takes us the next step. When Paula and I first got together in a most serious way, God spoke over us a prophetic word that was a scripture out of Joel chapter 2. And that scripture is, "I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten." That's locusts. Cute little things, aren't they? Not. And I actually was able to share this scripture with my daughter this morning. When she's thinking her whole life has fallen apart, she's lost her family, her children, and she's in jail and nothing else will work, God's saying to her, but I'm going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. God so said to the two of us, I will restore the years the locust has eaten. I'm too old to get those years back, I say sometimes to myself. And God says, but I'm going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. No one could get us out of the mess we're in right now. And God says, but I'm going to restore the years the locusts have eaten. I can never change. I'm always stuck doing these same things. And God says, but I'm going to restore the years that the locust has eaten. That's what God's calling us to. God wants to do a much deeper work than just our provisions, just the stuff we need. Lord, I need more money. Just sum it up, I need more money, God. And God says, no, you need a whole lot more than that. He wants to give us a new heart. We need a heart transplant. We've got a dead heart. It's just this rock stuck here that says, woe is me, things are bad. God says to us in Ezekiel 11, he said, I will give them an undivided heart, and I will put a new spirit in them, and I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. We will do that when he gives us that new heart, not when we go, I'm going to do it myself. They will be my people, and I will be their God. That is, if you want to sum up everything in the Bible, if you want to sum up why we're here on earth, why God created us, it's for that phrase. They will be my people, and I will be their God. He wants that relationship with us. He wants to call us to that. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable idols, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. Sovereign means he's not affected by what we do. He does what he does because he does what he does. And through all of life in this shell of reality that we live in, a heart gets its own shell. It's a hardened casing. We have our heart begins to harden. And that's why we need a new heart. Zechariah 7 says that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was really ticked off. I almost said a P word in that, but he was mad. Angry is what it says. God's looking at this and he's getting angry because we don't have to live this way. We don't have to choose to be like that. We can be people that have that heart softened. That's what God wants. He wants people with soft. Do you know what the word malleable means? Where you can shape it, or it's like a lump of clay, you can make it into any shape you want. God wants our hearts to be malleable. He says in Psalm 51, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. I read that a number of times, and being an engineer, my vocabulary is not as good as some folks who are more educated in words, and so I didn't know what contrite. It seemed humble or something like that, so I looked it up. And it's got the, that is the Hebrew word, as all you can recognize that, obviously. Yeah. Daka, to crush, broken, contrite. The other is the Latin word contrar, where it comes from, which means to pulverize. What God wants to do with our hearts that are hard with that shell on it is he wants to smash it. He wants to crush our hearts. Ouch! I don't like it when he does that. But it's the way that he can crush that shell that we've allowed to build up around our hearts. It's a way in which he can then take that hot new heart and sort of crumble it back into a malleable heart that he can make in the shape that he wants to make. Not what we want, but what he wants. Because that gives us the life that we should have. So then he removes the heart of stone and he replaces it with what? Ezekiel 36 tells us, "For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all countries and bring you back to your land. I will sprinkle clean water on you that you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Again, the driving force is our heart. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. There he is again saying that. Keeping God's laws and rules are important, but that how we do it is more important. And how we do it is by allowing God to crush our hearts, to shape it in what he wants to do. He wants to do that, and then he wants to go a step further. He wants to bring his Holy Spirit into our life, to take over our lives, not our free wills necessarily, but take over our lives. And we keep giving him as much as he asks for, and we try to not get in the way. First, do no harm. We just want to keep going after him and seeking after him. And then we screw up and then we want to turn around and go back and do it again and do it again and do it again. And he wants to give us more of his Holy Spirit that can heal us and can shape us and can gift us and allow us to just keep moving forward in life and going deeper and deeper into the real realities of our life. God gave a vision to Ezekiel in the next chapter after this. And in it, well, I'm going to show you it. There's no little kids here, so we're okay. It's a little gruesome, but it's the vision that he gave to Ezekiel. Can you turn on the video? No, I don't think so.
Prophesy.
There's an analogy in the middle of this that we lose in our life as we plod along day after day after day. That analogy is that sometimes we just sort of shrivel up and just become a bag of bones. That we just, there's no life left in us. The world has beaten us up so badly that we just don't have that anymore. And the Lord wants to bring His Spirit into these bags of bones, these bags of bones here. And He wants to give us that new heart and a whole new life. And if you're not experiencing that whole new life, that new way of living, a way that is not pain-free, it is one in which we can walk through the pains of life and get more life out of it, get our lives re-crushed to make sure none of that shell stays on there. He wants us to know that He's working His way in our life in every step we take. Why did you do that, God? That isn't what I wanted. That isn't what I would do, you might say to yourself. But He's saying, I'm working my way in your life. I got a word from the Lord in July. It had to do again with my daughter, and the word said, Vic, I'm doing an open heart surgery on her. So leave her alone. Don't try and intervene in what I'm doing. I'm doing some deep things. Your job is to pray. God wants to do open heart surgery in each and every one of us. He wants us to know that that's what He's after, is our heart. That He knows where the heart is, that's where our treasure is. That's where we will be alive. That's what will change things. I want to end with a really cool scripture, short, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old has gone and the new has come. And my absolute favorite PowerPoint picture of 10 years as a pastor is right there. That's our life. We're still living in the stump when God wants to draw that new life in us. We keep wanting to go back to, well, but I'm just a stump. And He's saying, no. I want you to find that new life inside of that old stump. That's what He's calling us to.